Hey, it's so good to welcome you to Fields Church Online, and we are so pleased that you've tuned in for this message. No matter what's going on in your world right now, we pray that you come away feeling encouraged by this message.
Such a privilege to lead a church, and I just felt so humbled when we got into our groups to pray. We have a prayer meeting just before we start church, and I just thought back, and I'm not going to get emotional, I hope. Just thought back to how we started the church and how God called us here from South Africa. We had to go 6,000 miles to meet Jesus. We were heathens and didn't know God. We weren't searching for God. And we went to South Africa, and a friend of the family led us, Esther and I, to the Lord one morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, in his lounge. And that's what we call a divine appointment. And I believe each one of you are divine appointments. You really are. And there are people up here that we recognize and thank for the work that they tirelessly do behind the scenes that no one sees. They do this week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. And we're so blessed to have people like this and people like you with your gifts and talents. Tell your neighbor, you have got gifts and talents that need to be used. And it's all about empowering people, isn't it? Those young disciples, yes, ma'am. Yeah, youth, sorry, the youth can go. Thank you very much. Thanks for flagging that up. Youth are going to go out. Thanks a lot, guys. See, I need people to tell me what to do. Not just Esther tells me what. Anyway, we won't go there. That's dangerous ground. Yeah, and just thinking about it, I'm going to share a message this morning. If you've got your Bibles, just turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We're going to have a look through Acts a little bit. And the title of the message is called The Positive Power of Need. And we're so blessed to have just so many people in this church. We've got a multicultural church. We've got a multi-age group. What do you call it? Generational. We've got the three generations in the church. That's something that we really believe for. And when I look back at 26 years we came here, and to look at you now, you're the fruit of the work that God has done in this church. He's doing the work. He works through people like you and I, and you are needed. Tell your neighbor, you are really needed.
We are really needed.
Amen. Just want to welcome Linda back. She's been on sabbatical in the Philippines for, a couple of years. Okay. So the title is The Positive Power of Need. What is that positive? You know, we needed a bookkeeper, and God met that need through Angela. Thank you, Angela. We needed an administrator, and God met our need through Kimini. Thank you, Kimini. We needed a chair of trustees, and God sent us Mark. Thank you, Mark. We needed more trustees, so God met that need with Andrew, with Martin, with Sheba, Steve, Simon, and Mark. We needed safeguarding leads, like Josh and Beth. And I thank you, Josh and Beth, for stepping up. These are people who know what they're doing, and they're really hot on this. It's a hot topic today, safeguarding, isn't it? It's very important for a church, really. Thank you, Danny, for all the sowing you did in this team, and God met our need with Steve, Kimini, and Jay. I believe God's wanting to do for him. And Beth, thank you for the input that you gave at Core Leaders. And Heidi also stepped back some time ago, but thank you, Heidi, for all the work that you put, and you still continue to put in over the course of the weeks and months. We needed an operations lead. You know who that is now. If you need anything, go to him. Don't come to me. Is that all right? Wonderful. And he'll gladly sort you out in a nice way. And he's here to help the smooth running of the church. How many of you know there's a lot to do on a Sunday, isn't there? Huge amount to do on a Sunday. So we thank you for him. We needed elders to help Esther and I govern the church. And Andrew's been a faithful friend for more than 20 years to Esther and I, and he serves as an elder in the church. And what I'll do, someone asked me that question, what is an elder? And I'll explain that at some point when I get the time, if that's all right. Is that okay? So we just thank you for these precious people, and we want to honor you this morning. And what we'd like to do over the coming weeks when we get space is to honor others at the front here. We have life group leaders. We have guys on the sound, guys in the band. We just want to honor everybody in the church. I think that's really important. So you know who's who in the zoo now, don't you? That's wonderful. Okay, you know, we're in a season of rebuilding teams and strengthening the areas of ministry that every church needs. And we are blessed to have the people that we have, these key people here. How many of us have needs? Let's just ask you. How many of you have any needs, whatever needs they might be? In the New Testament church, in the book of Acts, if you're with me, turn to Acts 2. Acts 2:44, if you would. There we go, lovely. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It might be a bit loud, so. Let's see an example of need and how the church met the need, the early church met the need. And it's one area of need. There's many needs, but this was one area of need. And these verses amaze me. And all those who had believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common, considering their possessions to belonging to the group as a whole. Isn't that an amazing verse of Scripture? So what would today's church look like if we all shared our possessions? I could say that I've got a country house in Ashbocking, and you're all invited to lunch this afternoon. We're going to use Andrew's credit card for that, and he's going to serve us. Aren't you glad for Andrew? Where's JT? Oh, he's gone to the youth. Who else can I pick on? I can pick on you, Lauren. I love that T-shirt. I think that T-shirt would look pretty good on me. What about sharing our possessions? That's quite radical, isn't it? Let's look at verse 45. And they began, look at this. They began selling their property and possessions and were sharing. Everyone say sharing. Sharing the proceeds with all the other believers as anyone had need. Finance. I believe God can meet every single need that we have. I truly believe that. As a young Christian, just a personal testimony, as a young Christian, we joined this church in South Africa. It's a big church. And they were talking about tithing and giving every week. And I thought, I'm not going to give any of my money to the church. Let's get that out of the way straight away. We don't give our money to the church. We're giving our finance to God. We're entrusting our finance to Him. Amen? Because He owns everything. We own nothing. Is that right?
Yeah.
And as a young Christian, I told my pastor, I said, look, I can't afford to tithe. You know, I was so broke, I couldn't even pay attention. And I went to my pastor and I said, I can't afford to do this. Money's really tight. Things are really... And he said, why don't you start with 1%? Give God something. He can't work with nothing. Give God something. Start with 1%. And from then till now, I tithe and give offerings every month. And I can say, with in all honesty, we've been through some really tough financial times. Anyone been through really tough financial times? Things were so bad when we were in South Africa at some point. My son went to school and had to pay two rand to watch a movie that day. He was the only one who didn't have 2 rand, and he couldn't watch that movie. I think they let him watch it, but that was really embarrassing. That's really embarrassing. But I want to say, God has never seen us go hungry. He's met every single need. We've had some challenging needs in our church financially. We still gave and still give more than 10% of our income and sow that income to other ministries like in India and Swaziland, Eswatini, to help people there build church. So that's where our finance goes. And we employ 4 people, myself, Kimini, Angela and S. This is not a right. Those 3 are part-time, I'm full-time. And I thank God for that. That this is not a right for me. It's a privilege to be a paid part. I'd do it anyway. I said, Lord, if I come to England and I have to work and plant this church and get this church going, I'm willing to do that. And God's been faithful. Say that. God has been faithful. And I know many of you have had lots of needs, especially financial needs. I want to say to you, entrust God with your income. Put Him first in that, and He'll take care of the rest. He will. So I want to thank everyone that gives and has given in this church over the years. It's got to run. Look, the lights have got to stay on. We hire a building. We pay people. We want to do much, much more with the income that we have. But we always need more. We need more resources in people and finance. They're the 2 things that we need for a church to be healthy. And this church is healthy. Tell your neighbor, you look healthy to me. You look healthy to me, and it needs to stay healthy. And Esther and I are on a journey. This church is on a journey of transition. I might share a little bit about that at the end of the, the message. Let's have a look at verse 32. Acts 4:32, if you want to turn there with me. If you can't turn there, just look at the screen behind me. It says, the whole congregation, so that was everybody agreed with this. Look at this. The whole congregation of believers were united as one. They had one heart and one mind. Does that in the church? We are the church. The whole church are getting involved in meeting the needs of others and meeting the needs in the church. We are the church. Is that right? It says they didn't even claim ownership of their own possessions. So you can't, sorry, Andrew, you just can't. If I want a second car, I want to drive that Range Rover of yours.
You're welcome to the Range Rover, as long as you don't have the other one.
Oh, the other one, okay. What's the other one?
My car.
Oh, your car. Oh, yeah. No, look at this. This is the message. It says, no one said, that's mine, you can't have it. They shared everything. Isn't it good to share? How many of you like sharing? How many of you like sharing, when you've got a plate of food, how many of you like sharing food? Oh, no, don't touch my plate. You know, you've got your own, brother. You get on with it, all right? You get on with it. Like I said, who's got a nice jacket? I quite like your jacket there, brother. I think I'll borrow that at the end of the service. Is that all right? Let's go to verse 34. Acts 4:34, the message. It says, and it turned out that not a person among them was needy. Wouldn't that be good if we had no needs whatsoever and we met all of our needs? Those who owned fields, I just can't think of anyone that might own any fields. But anyway, anyone who owns, I'm picking on Andrew today. Anyone who owns fields, those who own fields or houses, look at this. Apostles then distributed it according to each person's need. Now, God doesn't want you to sell your house unless he tells you to. God doesn't want you to give up all that you've got unless he tells you to. Amen? We need a house, don't we? Yeah. So it's all right, Andrew. We're not going to come and live. Well, I don't know. Can you build some rather long, you know, big extensions on the house and in the property so that we can come and have a holiday? Or who agrees with this? Yeah. Oh, we all agree. Okay. Look, it's unanimous. You got a barn? That will do. When we had lockdown, we had a service in Andrew's barn. It was freezing, wasn't it? Cold. And then he bought this massive great heater for us, and you couldn't speak over the noise, but that's another thing. That's not a complaint, by the way. We're all right. Let's look at don't keep your place there. I want you to go to Romans 12:13, and we'll just go through this message. Romans 12:13. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he's encouraging believers in their behaviors of loving each other, honoring each other, and then he says this: distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So he even addressed the church in Rome about distributing the needs for the saints in the church. You know, we have two hands, right? Yeah. Hopefully we've got two hands. We receive with one and we give with the other. Amen. If we receive something, let's give something. Amen. It's more blessed to give. So you see, Andrew, these scriptures are really piling up against you, bro. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I did ask Andrew to adopt me at one point, but you know, I could get an inheritance. No, all right then. You haven't got that one, have you? It's gone right over your head. I asked Andrew to adopt me. Okay. Oh, no, I want his farm. No, I don't. What were your bank details again, Andrew, so we can... Sorry. This is a bit of a while. Sorry, Andrew. I love him. He's a great man. He really is a lovely man. He's done so much for us in this church. And God's going to, when you stand before God, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you're a very generous man, Andrew, in lots of ways, with your time, your energy, your finance, and your love. Thank you. I really appreciate you. I appreciate you. That's got over me slagging him off now. Anyway, what about this one? Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says this: excelling giving is the title in my Bible. And it says this: now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done, look at that, through the churches in Macedonia. Can we see this? God is the one working in the hearts of believers in churches to meet the needs of others. That's really important. Verse 2 says this. He goes on to say in the New Living, they're being tested by many troubles. Have any of us been tested by many troubles? Many. You know, they seem to come one today. We'll pray for you after. But then another, isn't that right, Jeannie? Bless your little heart. It's great troubles, and they are very poor. Look at that. Very poor. The church is being tested, and they're very poor. Who likes the but in Scripture? I got that from Andrew. It says, but they are also filled with abundant joy. Any joy in the room today?
Yay!
Which is overflowed in? Rich generosity. How many of you are generous? That's lovely. One person put their hand. That's good. We might get to two or three or four, maybe. I don't know whether this message is going to have the impact that I hope it's going to have, actually. They were filled with joy. And they had rich generosity, although they had lots of troubles, and it seemed like they were very poor. You know, that word generosity, I like that word generosity. It means this. It means bountifully. It means liberality, not self-seeking. I love the next part, openness of heart, manifesting itself in generosity. You know, giving isn't a matter of the wallet. It's a matter of the heart. Where's our heart? If your heart's in something, you'll give to that, won't you? When I first started work, my dad said to me, right, you're working now, you've got to give 10% of your income to the household because we need the money. Back in the day, people didn't have the kind of money that we have today. We didn't. And times were really tough growing up in the 90s. That's when I was born. yeah, because you can. Yeah. You want 5 minutes? You know, Tim's mum passed away just the other day. I think Tim's passionate about serving. But to come here the next day after your mum's passed away and serve, he came here early to put the chairs out today. Thank you, Tim. So where are our hearts? Where are they? Matthew, it says in Matthew, I haven't got the verse there, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 8, the New Living says this, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. The New King James of verse 3 says, for I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. I'm astounded by this next verse. Look at this. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in this gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They begged them to give. Can we please give? We've heard and be generous and give to Jerusalem. We're begging you, can we please get involved in this and be generous and give to this church in Jerusalem? That's astounding. Verse 5. They even did more than we hoped for. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. Giving is a ministry, and I believe it's a privilege to give back to God because He's given us everything that we need. Amen. I truly believe that with all of my heart. Number 7, and we can't outgive God, can we? Given it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what the Bible says. We can't outgive God. We can't outgive God, can we?
No.
Since you excel, everyone say excel.
Excel.
Since you excel in many ways in your faith, your gifted speaking, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, and your love from us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. Excel in giving. Amen? That word excel means, very simple, to be extremely gracious, good at something. So Paul is saying, excel in our love, but let's excel in this gracious gift of giving as well. We should be extremely good about our giving. Verse 8. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. The other churches were eager to give to this church. So giving comes out of genuine love for others as well. Here is my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning, so there's a beginning when we're meant to give, and we're meant to continue giving, be matched now by your giving. It then says, give in proportion to what you have. You can't give what you don't have. It's no good raiding your credit card and giving that to the church. It's no good, is it? It's no good borrowing money to give. And I've seen churches beg for money. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes, my own ears. I've heard it. And that is really shocking. We give because we love God. We give because we love God. Do we love him? Amen. Like serving Tim. You come to serve because you love Jesus. Amen. It says, whatever you give. No, now you should finish the work you... Sorry, I lost where I was. What verse was I on? Now you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning, I did read it, be matched by your giving now. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. Let's not give begrudgingly. Oh, they want money, so I just better give it, I suppose. Well, then God doesn't want that, does he? He wants an eager, willing heart to give. And you give out of what you have. You give from a pure heart. That's what we do. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have and not to what you don't have. If we were to look at those verses of Scripture, we can see the word give or gave appears 8 times in those verses. And you know, the whole point of this message, I think, is to share about the principle of giving. Not just the necessity of it or the needs that the church has. It's the principle of giving. If we look, we taught our kids at a young age, you get your pocket money, you tithe. When you go to church, you tithe, you give. And a lot of people don't agree with the whole tithing thing. That's the Old Testament. Did you know that Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had outside of that? That's the starting point for me. To give 10% and then offerings over and above that. I know a lot of people don't like the Malachi 3, do they? Does anyone like Malachi 3? You do. Because it talks about you're robbing God in your tithes and not. I don't quite like that bit. In fact, I think I'll tear that bit out of my Bible. But is that right? He's got Malachi 3. Just get that quickly for me and read it out loud for me. Go from verse, don't go to the nasty bits. You're robbing God. Will a man rob God? Oh dear, the pastor said, I'm robbing God. What am I going to do now? Don't worry about that bit. It's all the blessing bits after it. Who'd like the promises after that? Hey, go for it, Julie. Go for it. No, go, Julie. That's fine. Stop there. That there may be what?
Food in my house.
Right, we're not just talking about food that we eat here. It's the word of God, isn't it? Amen? Without churches, we can't preach the gospel. Without paying the pastor who can give his time full time, we can't preach the gospel. Amen. So there'd be food in my house. Carry on, Jules.
Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw out the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing.
Poof. There will not be room enough to store it. Gee whiz. I mean, a selfish prayer is, Lord, just give me enough for me and my family. Now, I'd like an abundance. Why? So I can give more. Have any of you heard of a need in the church and you've got this on your heart, you've got to go and give some money to somebody and just put it in an envelope and stash it through their letterbox? Anyone done that? You've done that, Dan? Do you know what that feels like? When you know that person's got a need, you did it anonymously. You didn't put it in, oh, it was Danny. Do you remember? I sing in the band. I'm the big guy with the camera. No, you did that anonymously, right? How blessed do you think those people were? How blessed were you that you could do that? When I've got nothing to give, I feel, gee, I want to give to this need and I've got nothing to give. But when you give, you feel blessed in the other person. For our stuff, we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Let's share our stuff with people. If you've got 2 cars and you don't need one, give the other car away. If you've got 2 motorbikes like your dad, you've got 3 motorbikes, give one to your son-in-law. I mean, I can't say this enough. No, really, sincerely, I'm going to close now. I just want to thank all those who do give to the ministry. And if you're finding it hard to give, start with something. Start with something. And God, I really believe that God will bless you. We're going to send a good time to send the offering buckets around, isn't it? Yeah, we're going to just take an offering. And again, do not feel compelled about giving an offering. Don't do it because you have to. Don't do it because you think you're compelled to do it. Give because you want to give. Amen? And I want to thank all the people that serve every week. Well, I'd like to give them a round of applause as well. Let's give them a round of applause if we can. You know, we have many needs as a church. We need people in every area of setting up the church, packing it down. Loads of needs in the church that way. We also have financial needs. You know, we need to up the hours of an administrator, whoever we employ. Well, it might not be. We don't know. We need to up the hours of our administrator. So that's going to take some finance. So I'm going to mention a figure now. And you might be embarrassed by that, but that's just too bad, really. If you don't share the needs, if you don't know what the needs are, how can we that administrator? It's a lot of money. But you know, the needs of the church with communication are great. They're great. You won't believe what an administrator will do to the church to make it really healthier, much healthier than it is. Our transition, we're focusing, Esther and I, on strengthening areas of ministry that we've been involved in. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you. Strengthening areas of ministry that we've been involved in. We did lots of those jobs that these people had. We did all of that. And we're releasing people and empowering people to step up to those roles that frees Esther and I to do what we're called to do, to raise others up. That's what we're doing right now. You know, we're connecting as a church. I'm connecting as a pastor with more ministers around the country now, not just in our town. So we're looking for, you know, a young couple to take the church on. We're still believing for that. There's no timeline for that as yet. We have spoken to a couple of people over the last 6 months, but nothing's come of that. So Esther and I are intentionally looking for those people to take the church on. We might need a pastor to come into the church and walk alongside us for a while, so we might need some income for him. Amen? Yeah. I want to leave a healthy church and a legacy. This is a healthy church. It's very healthy. Amen? It's very healthy. But we need to leave a legacy, and we're looking for the right people to take this church on. Too many horror stories of choosing. So many churches in this town without a pastor. We've got itinerant preachers in this church going around churches that don't have pastors, preaching messages to churches that are dwindling. That shouldn't be. It is sad. You all okay?
Yeah.
You're not offended with me?
No.
I'm the pastor. You've got to love me. You know, you just got to say it like it is. You know, we're not begging for anything. We've trusted God. When we came here, Esther and I, we had £600 to start this church. Got to get a house, got to get a car. I got, £1,000 back in the day to run the household. South Africa sent us money. They were going to do that for 10 months. They did that for 2 years. Every month, Esther and I would go when we thought our support was finished. I know I've shared this before, but I want to tell you how good God is. We got before God and said, this money is going to end in October. What are we going to do? And God said, I want you to stay full time. I want you to trust me. I want you to put your faith in me. And we did. That money kept coming. Every month we would do that. Thank you, Father God, that you're going to meet every need. I don't know where that money's coming from, but you're going to meet every need. Because God says, what does it say in Philippians 4? And my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And for 2 years, that money kept coming until we could go on our own, until the church could support us. We thank God. God's a faithful God. Let's give him a round of applause, can we? Okay. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Can we get the band up, please? Thank you. Yeah, the income that we receive can't have a real regular income. We sow finance into other ministries that can't have a real regular income stream. And without that giving to them, they can't meet the needs. A lady in Swaziland feeding 2,000 kids a day. and our finances helping to do that. They've got to move out of the church building because they're on a sugar plantation, and they're going to build a new church. And our church in Johannesburg is going to help them get that off the ground, but they're going to need some finance so that they can carry on preaching the gospel and feeding the needs of those children. We've got Pastor Bal in India. He goes to the darkest of places where he is in India. He's been threatened with his life, and praise God that God has protected him all these years. We've been supporting him for over 20 years. And without that finance, they can't really reach people that we can't touch. We can touch people with our finance. We can't touch them physically, but when we send finance to them, they can touch people that we can't reach. So that's where some of the finance goes. And we're so blessed. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for continually supporting us as a ministry as we go forward, looking to the future, doing all that we love to do. There's so much more we want to do. Really, I'd love to see a chaplain in this school. I'd love us to see that. I'd love a youth and community worker so we can handle, you know, and work with youth in the nation, in this town. So many needs that we have. There's so much more we could do. But let's just close our eyes for a moment. Let's just focus on Jesus. You know, one of the most important things, or the most important thing, is change lives. And without a preacher, people are not going to hear the gospel. They're not going to get saved. And the most important thing for me as a pastor is to see people saved, to come into the kingdom, to see their lives changed and transformed. Maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus and you're here today. And you say, Pastor, I've heard what you've been talking about. I know we've spoken about finance this morning, but I want to tell you about Jesus. He should be the most important person in your life. And if he's not, and you're here today and you'd like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you'd like to commit your life to Jesus today and you've never done that, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. What a day to give our lives to Jesus. Maybe you've been cold in heart and you stopped going to church, but you're here today. Maybe you've been hurt in church, but you're here today. I want to say that God loves you and wants you back. And if you're that person, you're here today because I'm talking to you today. If you just slip back a bit and your heart's just grown cold towards the things of God and you want to recommit your life today, just slip your hand up and I'll see it and Jesus will see it and say, that's me. I want to come back to God. And he's there waiting for you to put his arms around you and love you again. Is that you this morning? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. We have a prayer ministry team that will be available after the church service when I'm going to close just now. They're here to pray for you for anything if you need healing. If you just want to feel encouraged, you want people to pray for your marriage or your relationships or your job, we'd like to pray for you for all of those things. Or if you just want a touch from God, you're coming, you're a little dry this morning, come forward and get the guys to pray for you, to get that fire in your belly again so that you can, you know, serve God with all of your heart. So the prayer team will be ready after the service, after I've closed. What we're going to do is we're going to get the band to go off with a song. We're going to close the service. We'll go off with a song, then we're going to have some fellowship. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for all that you've done, all you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your church. You're coming back for a glorious bride without spot or blemish. And we thank you, Father God, for meeting every single need that we have. And we thank you as we look to you for the future, Lord, that you continually meet our needs. As we go right now, that your angels would encamp around about us, keep us safe and free from harm until we can meet again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's just stand and glorify God, and then we can...